Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up later on this edition of the Radio Today programme, a stalwart of radio news in Manchester, the Northwest and beyond. We talk to John Pickford as he celebrates 40 years since he joined Piccadilly Radio this month. He's still at the same company and now Bauer Radio's editor-in-chief. And more memories in David Lloyd's radio moments as well, as Johnny Vaughan leaves Capital and Mark Goodyear departs the Radio 1 chart. There's the birth of Radio Merseyside, and Absolute Radio 60s arrives without Cliff.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Hassel.
That's all still to come, and you will enjoy my chat with John Pickford. It's a good one. Hello, Roy. Roy Martin is here from Radio Today.
Hello, that sounds good. I like that. I'm going to keep listening to this one. Hey.
What? Well done to Radio Today on its new look, first of all. Congratulations, Mr. Owner and Editor. Looks nice, new logo.
Oh, yes. It has literally been years in the making, after many people saying to me, when are you redoing your logo? And, I quite liked it, but there is a time when everybody has to move on from vague rounded. So we've done that. And the new logo, if you haven't noticed, it's on all the socials, it's on all the websites, at radiotoday.co.uk. And it's kind of an evolution process rather than a revolution. And thank you to Sophie at Oh My Graphics for coming up with this. It's beautiful. I think it's beautiful. Do you like it?
It's very nice. And it's on all of them. It's on Radio Today Ireland and Radio Today Europe and Radio Today America and Radio Today North and everywhere.
Radio Today Antarctica.
Really? Is that a thing?
Yeah, you go to it and it's just a white page, just blank. Nothing there.
Yeah, walked into that one, didn't I? Talking of branding, there was lots of big Hits Radio logos all over the Manchester Arena. We were there on Sunday night to see Robbie Williams and Mark Ronson and Mabel and Anne-Marie and Tom Walker and lots more. It was good.
Anne-Marie got me up dancing. I tell you, she's great, isn't she? Love the show. Thank you very much to Bauer for inviting us. We had a fantastic night out on Sunday. And we had a little tour backstage as well, didn't we? It's fascinating to see all the people. I mean, we've done events and there's like me, you and a few others, but they've got a million people all working on things and churning stuff out in real time. So yeah, hats off and respect for three massive events.
Hits Live.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was quite a million people, so just to fact check that one. I know we're in the era of fact checking with election coverage at the moment.
All right, okay.
They'd all done three nights of it in Liverpool and Birmingham and Manchester as well. So hopefully the team who were working on that have got the week off. But yeah, well done to everybody there. And on similar related Bauer news, brand extensions and that, a new radio station from Golden Square launched online. It was only announced 8 o'clock Monday morning, and then 10 o'clock Monday morning, it arrived. Here's a clip.
The newest member of the Absolute Radio family.
This is Absolute Radio 10s.
Oh, and welcome to Absolute Radio 10s. It's the biggest songs from the last decade. I'm Jay Lawrence. This is the newest station from the Absolute Radio family. So what's the first song that you play on a new radio station? Well, the choice was too big, wasn't it? Decision too important, so we let you decide. Thousands of you voted for your favourite song from the last 10 years, and the winner was actually a band that I was obsessed with when they first came onto the scene about 7-8 years ago. The song that you chose was the brilliant Bastille, Pompeii, on Absolute Radio 10s.
So Absolute Radio 10s is a thing. That means we're going to get 20s in, what, about 9 or 10 years time, yeah?
I should think so, yeah. So yeah, looking forward to that. And this has been the year of new radio station launches, hasn't it? There's probably been, what, 20 radio stations launched this year? National ones?
Blimey, is it that? It's been
quite a lot, yeah.
And Absolute have now got Absolute 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties and 10s, but Heart have only got 70s, 80s and 90s. So are we going to see Heart going for 60s and noughties and 10s as well?
Hang on a minute. Ashley's on the phone. He wants me to hold his beer. What does that mean?
We will watch and see what happens next. And another new one on DAB as well. I mean, Absolute 10s is online only, but DAB station in London launching this week from Golden Square as well. Magic at the Musicals from Magic Radio playing all music from the shows. There's a couple of other stations doing that already, but it's big business.
It is. And somebody wrote on the social comments about how radio stations should be starting to target niche businesses and audiences and interests like veganism and all this kind of stuff, rather than just pumping out a different genre of music. So there's something in that. Maybe once we've covered every single type of music, then there'll be a 24-hour radio station for people who like canoeing or something like that. You never know. Could be a thing.
Yeah. The community around musicals is quite a big community as well, and obviously the station's going to have interviews with some of the West End stars, and I presume there'll be some commercial partnerships going on as well to promote shows that are on in the West End and around the UK as well. So it's a good fit for what Magic does as well, and of course they have their Magic at the Musicals event every year as well, so I think it'll be a good one, and I'm looking forward to listening. Of course there's another one that technically Bauer own, don't they? Encore, which was the UKRD station, which I think is still on DAB in Surrey.
It is on Surrey and South London, is it called? The Muxco Multiplex, Surrey and South London. So it is still broadcasting, and technically Bauer do own it. So the fact that they've gone ahead and launched their own station doing the same thing, I'm not sure what that says. Either they're in for a long ride and with Encore and they can't wait as long as it's going to take to take it over, or they're just going to close it down when they finally get control of it. Who knows? We'll find out.
We will. Another quick couple of stories to talk about this week. The Quidem group, which is Touch FM and similar stations, are going to go into a brand licensing agreement with Global, and they've got the permission to change the format of those radio stations, we think, to probably Capital.
Yeah, it's going to be Capital. Global haven't said what it's going to be, but it's pretty obvious. And they've made no announcements on timescales, but knowing Global, they'll probably want to get on with it as soon as possible. So maybe predict a January or February relaunch in the West Midlands for the bigger Capital West Midlands station.
If you missed this on social media, this is one of my favourite clips of the week. This is from BBC Radio Cymru 2. Two presenters chatting away in Welsh, and I don't understand most of what they're talking about, but somehow it's still hilarious.
I need to hear you quite on talfyriadau, fel obs, er enghraifft. Ac acronyms yn ei fi, ta fi'n gymryd y thyren cynta y brawddeg lle, o MB, ynddo, o man bach, o MB.
Mofo.
Mofo. Be dwi'n mofo?
O.
FOMO.
FOMO.
FOMO, ydy fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Mofo.
FOMO or mofo. Very easily confused. Talking of the F word, it appeared in a song on a radio station near you, Roy, in Southampton, community station called Fiesta. Are you a regular listener to that?
It's one of my favourite stations for Spanish hip-hop beats on 95 FM in Southampton. What have they been up to?
Well, they played randomly The Beautiful South's Don't Marry Her, the album version of said song, which I'm not sure it quite fits their format anyway.
Yeah, that famous Spanish song.
Yeah, Latin American style. But yeah, so that accidentally got played on the radio about 4 or 5 months ago, and then Ofcom came to them and said, we've had a complaint about this. And at that point, they then put out an apology in Spanish at a different time of day on a different show. So they got in trouble for that. So again, we say it lots when these kind of things happen. But, you know, if you are programming a radio station, putting songs into the system, make sure you've got the clean versions.
Yeah, but we both worked on a radio station that did the exact same thing and got away with it. Remember that?
Yes.
So maybe move on. Yeah.
Talking of Ofcom complaints, again, we played this. Should we play it again now? But we played this on the podcast in the summer when somebody sent us a clip of it when it actually happened. This is Radio St Austell Bay in Cornwall.
Okay, the time is 11 o'clock on Radio St Austell Bay. My name is Biff Griffin, here to news. Supermarket chain Morrison's is launching a new limited edition sandwich that has all the flavours of a classic British pub favourite. Ham, egg and chips. The new edition Morrison's Sarnie will be available to buy as part of the retailer's £3.50 meal deal, which includes a choice of any sandwich or salad, a snack and a drink for the next 12 weeks. There's other sandwiches being sold at other supermarkets, such as Tesco's, Asda, Aldi's, Lidl's, to name a few. Right, let's get on with the rest of the news.
So Ofcom received a complaint about that, and as a result have upheld the complaint because it featured what they saw as a commercial message in the news bulletin, even though the radio station said, hey, we didn't get any money for this.
And a lot of people comparing it to when a new product is launched, such as a Greggs vegan sausage roll, which was all over the news. What's the difference between that and that, Mr. Journalist Stuart Clarkson?
I think partly is the copy that was used here, and it was obviously promoting the price, and it was part of a meal deal and that kind of thing. But it's also, it's just a sandwich. Yes, it's a different flavour sandwich, but it's just a sandwich. There's nothing particularly newsworthy about it. I think what happened here, there seems to be some suggestion that the Mirror Online kind of ran a piece on it, whether they had a commercial arrangement with Morrison's or not, who knows. But they ran a piece, and so somebody has seen there's a news article on the Mirror Online about it and thought that must be news. We can put that in our news.
So when Apple bring out a new phone and it costs over £1,000 and that's in the headline, that's different again?
Yeah, I think so, because that's out of the ordinary, and journalists would probably defend that to say there is a lot of media interest and news and public interest in the launch of a new phone from Apple, and the fact that it's over £1,000, it's the most expensive phone there is, the most expensive one there's ever been or whatever, so that turns it into news. If Morrison's had released a sandwich that was £100 rather than £2 or £3, that probably would have been a news story.
Oh, I'll have three. So the main point here is, if in doubt, leave it out.
Or check and make sure that all your team, especially if you're at a community radio station, make sure all your team have read the Ofcom code, or at least a synopsis of it. And if you haven't got anybody at your station who's got expertise in understanding the Ofcom code and delivering that to volunteers and presenters, get somebody in who can help you.
Sound advice.
Right, should we finish with a... well, we've got some events to tell you about, but before that, an Anoraki song that we shared on the Radio Today socials this week that Connor Mosley and Chris Kirk sent to us. Two top freelance presenters and producers. They've made a song like the kind of Countries of the World song, in that kind of style, featuring radio stations.
In Victor and Hallam and Radio City and Rock FM, Wish FM2. There's Absolute Capital, Magic and Smooth and BBC Radio 2. There's 2BR, Peak FM, BBC Lancashire, Radio Wave in the Bay. Sam FM, Jack FM, there's even Bob FM, Harrogate, Listen to Stray. There's Wessex and Essex and Shropshire and Gloucester and BBC Radio Leeds. And if you want Mozart and Bach and Beethoven, there's BBC Radio 3. Metro and Viking and BBC Manchester, BBC Radio 1. Yorkshire Coast Radio, there's even Gadio playing some excellent songs. The Signal 1, Signal 2, Breezing, KMFM, Key 103 is now hits. TFM, CFM, XFM, Sun FM, Good Times are on Greatest Hits. There's Jazz FM, Cool FM, Tower and Power and Fiber for all of your sports. We'll service 6 music and if you so choose it, there's Alan Brazil on Talk Sports. One Extra, Fourth and Clyde Radio, Caroline, Cornwall, that's Pirate FM. There's plenty of apps you can get on your phone so you can go listen again. The Asia Network and BBC Cymru providing the specialist shows. On Radio X, the Chris Moyle Show, where it seems like anything goes. There's Global and Bauer and UKRD, there's Nation and Wireless too. With hundreds of stations on Radio Play, you're sure to find something for you. Second degenerate, be freezing the black of true rock music's on enemy. For songs of the role, go listen to golf and you should try LBC. There's BFBS and Radio Air and Century Turn into Real. Imagine a star, a hood in the car, a while you're having a meal. There's Mr. Red Dragon, Signal 107, MFO, West Side of Tay. The keeper with Brexit, there's Nigel Farage. Wait! We've got Galaxy, BBC, Manchester, Lakers and Dresses, I'm crossing a kiss, and who can forget about us?
Fantastic. Love that. Well done, Chris. Well done, Connor. Really, really good tune.
And the only question is why they started with Invicta, which hasn't been on the air for like a decade. And there's quite a few other radio stations in there as well that don't exist.
And everybody was replying to the Radio Today tweet saying, oh, yeah, my station hasn't been included. None taken.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't us that did it. We didn't make it. But you can't fit them all in. You'd be here all day.
Maybe there'll be a follow-up with some extra ones in. We'll see. But no, really enjoyed that. And check out Chris and Connor on social media to see some of their other work and see some of the radio work that they do as well. We've got a few events coming up, not least the New York Radio Festivals Awards just announced for 2020. And the New York Awards are going to be in Las Vegas.
They are this year. It's normally in June in the big penthouse in New York, but they've moved all the dates forward a couple of months, so don't get caught out by the closing date. It's going to be a lot sooner than previous years. And if you're at the NAB in Vegas in April, That is when the awards will be given out. I'd love to go, but the dates just don't work for me next year, sadly.
Maybe we can get Morrison's to pay for our flights or something.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of other events going on as well. The IRN Awards just announced the Arias will be having some nominations early in the new year, we think, and then an event at some point in the spring, confirmation of that coming soon. And all these dates and more, of course, could well be on your Radio Today wall planner with the new Radio Today logo on, which might be coming through the letterbox at your radio station very soon.
Yeah, if you want to make sure you're getting a wall planner, by the way, because we're going to strip back the mailing list for the next mail out, because, one, half the radio stations have closed down or moved out of town, so we're giving it a bit of a prune. And yeah, we had a few back last year, returned to senders, so we've cut off a few. So if you want to make sure you're on the list this year, just drop me an email or get in touch one way or another, and we'll make sure we do it. We've got new pens and all sorts to give away this year as well, coming within the envelope. So looking forward to spreading the love.
Excellent. Well, David Lloyd's still to come on this podcast, and next we're going to hear from the legend, John Pickford, and I will see you again this week, Roy. That's 3 times in 3 weeks.
We better explain. We don't live like near each other, so it's quite an occasion. We're not just telling everybody our social diary. It's quite an event when we see each other, because we live 300 miles away from each other. So, and we're doing this down the line, which some people don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we're going to London again this week. So we were in London last week for John Myers' memorial, and then Roy came to Manchester and I met you there for Hits Radio Live. And this week we're going to London to see Magic of Christmas and Absolute Radio Live, which is a comedy night.
We're so lucky. Thank you very much for inviting us. We like to get out of the house. It's a good excuse to, you know, stop doing childcare for 24 hours. So, yeah, it's good.
True. Well, I will see you there, and hopefully we'll be speaking to some people from Absolute and maybe Magic as well at the event.
Bye-bye now.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Yes, this is the Radio Today programme, and the word legend is used quite often in our industry, sometimes without very good reason too, but it 100% applies to our guest this week. He's UK Radio's longest serving news editor, and if he isn't, then why let the facts get in the way of a good story? Let's just go with that. He's just clocked up 40 years this month working for the same company. He's the editor-in-chief of Bauer Radio News and a legend of Piccadilly, Key 103 and now Hits Radio. It's John Pickford. Hello, John.
Hello. Most people haven't lived 40 years, so I must be the longest standing news editor.
Well, if somebody wants to disprove that claim, then we'll take it. But I think we just go with it. I think we roll with that.
It's amazing, isn't it, when I'm only 40 plus in terms of my age.
Yeah. So tell us what happened. Was it Tuesday last week, the anniversary of your 40th year? Tell us what happened when you rocked up at work on Tuesday morning.
Well, it was very annoying. When I actually arrived in the car park, I found that I couldn't get in because they disabled my fob. And I thought, how can they do this on the 40th anniversary, lock me out? So I was buzzing the buzzer and the receptionist wasn't answering. And obviously what they'd done was disabled my fob so that they could get everybody into reception, knowing that I'd arrived. Luckily, I didn't turn back and go home or go to Liverpool. So I arrived in, and on the door was Happy John Pickford Day, which was great. And in reception, scarily, everybody was wearing John Pickford masks. Now, if I look as ugly as that, then crikey, I really do know now why I never got a job in TV.
John Pickford Day, they wouldn't do that just for anybody either. So I think your colleagues have a lot of respect for you. I think that's what it tells us.
Well, I really appreciated it. And we had a series of sessions during the day where Michelle Livesey had put together a compilation of some of my olden days recordings when I actually read the news, and actually some of my reporting on the riots, and an awful blooper where I was actually at this terrible crime scene, and Paul Lockett, he is a legend, a legendary newsreader for many years here, and on the Steve Penk show, he was reading the news, and he introduced me at this crime scene, and inadvertently, Paul played a combination of Ed the Duck and some dog spitting, and I was getting text messages saying, "Are you okay? What's gone wrong?" And I didn't realise that live on air, I'd been going out as this this combination of a spitting dog and a duck. And Paul and Steve Penk managed to get halfway through the bulletin before abandoning the show. So they played that, and everybody thought that was a huge laugh.
This is the home of Toulon, Penk, and Morehouse. Key 103.
12 o'clock, I'm Paul Lockett. A family in Stockport have been held hostage after armed thieves broke into their home. The woman and her son were left terrified by the ordeal. Reporting, John Pickford. Next week's protests over rise... Oh, no, I don't know. John Pickford turned into a duck for some reason.
Let's see if we can get... What the hell was that?
No idea. Anyway, moving on.
Let's go right back. I mean, these days you're the editor-in-chief of Bauer Radio News. You've been doing that for about 5 or 6 years now. Mm-hmm. But 40 years ago, you started out as a reporter, I think, at what was Piccadilly. And you'd been a reporter at the Stockport Express. How did you rock up at Piccadilly? How did you get the job there in the first place?
Well, as you say, I went straight into newspaper journalism after I did my A-levels at Audenshaw Grammar School. There was an editor there. I just didn't want to go to university. I'd had enough of studying, and I just thought, you know, the time is right to find a job. And I went to for a job interview at the Stockport Express, and Barry Bettany, the editor there, saw something in me that the editor of another local newspaper didn't. And so I did 3 years on the Stockport Express, and after that I passed my newspaper proficiency test, which is the only qualification I've actually got. So I say to the news team here, you're all more qualified than me. We went on a 12-week strike on the local newspaper, and I went to the local pub, and there was a guy there called Steve Winstanley who'd worked on the rival Stockport newspaper, the Advertiser, and he happened to be in the pub at the time. This is where fate comes into it. And he had left the Advertiser to join Piccadilly Radio as the Manchester United commentator. And so he bought me a drink and said, "Oh, you know, you must be out of pocket being on strike for 12 weeks. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, there's some shifts going at Piccadilly Radio on a Saturday. You'll have to give up going watching Man City." So I said, "Fine." He said, "Every Saturday afternoon, you'll write the sports headlines. I'll read them out." So I did that for a few weeks, and then Steve rang in ill, and the editor said, "Well, you're going to have to not only write the headlines, you're going to have to read them out live on air." And I thought, "Oh, right, well, this could be quite easy." It wasn't, because it's not a natural thing to do, is it? Actually read things out aloud. You don't read a book out aloud on a bus or a train. People would think you were rather odd. So it's not a natural thing to do at first. And the red light went on, and I can't say it was my finest hour reading the sports headlines out aloud, but I got used to it and got into it, and actually ended up every week then reading out the horse racing results and standing at the teleprinter at the bottom of the newsroom reading out the half-time and full-time scores. And then a job came up in the newsroom. David Veer, the news editor, said, "Why don't you apply for it with your experience on a local newspaper, and I've heard you on air. You're okay, we could work with you." So I applied for the job, came along for the interview, really smartly dressed. David Veer wasn't available because there was some crisis going on in the newsroom. And I was interviewed by Philip Birch, the managing director, who had actually run Pirate Radio London.
Yeah.
And I was a massive Pirate Radio enthusiast. I'd grown up listening to Radio Caroline. So in the job interview, all we did was actually talk about Pirate Radio. So I got the job. And so that was the start of it. And then Mike Briscoe, who famously was the guy who sacked Chris Evans, he was the news editor, and he said to me, look, we need to bring sport into the news arena. And after 3 years, he made me sports editor, which was a baptism of fire because I had to gain the respect of some very experienced sports guys. And then Mike became the programme controller, and he said, look, you know, with your background in news, you've been doing a good job of sport. Will you be the head of news and sport? So I said, are there two salaries, two cars? He said, no, same salary, bit more experience for you. So I actually became, I think, the youngest news editor in the business. And as you say now, I'm the oldest.
I didn't say that. Those are your words. But I mean, the newsroom then, so late 70s, early 80s, it was a completely different place. There is some footage on YouTube if one of people want to have a look. But, you know, there's paper everywhere. There's things coming in off printers. There's, you know, phones ringing. There's loads of people there.
People smoking.
What was it like in that newsroom? Yeah, smoking as well. What was it like in that newsroom in the 80s?
It was noisy. As you say, the PA feed, the IRN feed was chattering away and spewing paper out over the floor. People were tapping, banging away at manual typewriters. People were smoking, so the air was thick with smoke. And everything was much more noisy, and the IRN feed would come down with the beeps at 20 to the hour, and you would manually have to load up every cut on carts and clean them with a magnetic cleaner. And of course, this is the era of no mobile phones. This is the era where there wasn't even a pager. And so you went out on a story with a reel-to-reel tape recorder, which was great, actually, because you could edit with a chinagraph and a razor blade out at the scene. But there was no way of sending that tape back. In fact, one of the first jobs I did was go over after my midnight shift to pick up the tapes from Henry Matthews and Stephen White, who were covering the Yorkshire Ripper case. And I had to drive over the Pennines, actually collect the tapes, bring them back physically to edit them for breakfast time. And I remember going on a train crash at College Junction, and I went down there, did my interviews, sat in my car editing this reel-to-reel tape with bits of tape in my mouth and you know, moving bits around. And then you had to find a public phone box, unscrew the mouthpiece of the public phone box, connect your tape machine with crocodile clips, and send it back to Manchester via the public phone box. And then, of course, they made public phone boxes vandal-proof. So then you ended up having to knock on people's doors, say, hello there, I'm from the whatever radio station. I'm wondering whether I could possibly borrow your phone. And then you'd, luckily, if you were lucky, you'd be allowed in. And then there would be alarm at, you know, when you started unscrewing the mouthpiece of their phone to send the material back. And then, of course, the iPhone has revolutionised the way that we do everything. You know, you do everything now on an iPhone, and everything is 100 times quicker than doing what used to be a very manual job. And when you wouldn't be able to be contacted other than via a pager, and the first pagers only beeped. And then you'd have to find a public phone box and then ring the office and say, you paged me, what do you want? And then, of course, it got advanced that you get a little message on there saying, you know, go to this place. So I'm quite excited about the advances in technology. It just makes our job more exciting, and you can do everything now, video and audio and everything on one device.
You mentioned a couple of those big stories that you covered back in the early days, and Manchester and the Northwest generally has got this fantastic news patch, such rich stories, as well as big news events that have happened over the last 40 years. You know, things like the IRA bombing in Manchester, the terror attack at the arena, riots, floods, you know, everything goes on in the Northwest, it seems. So you've been lucky in that respect that the patch you've been covering mainly wasn't some kind of quiet backwater. There was a lot of things going on.
I've been absolutely honoured and privileged, really, to have been able to report on the highs and lows of Manchester's history over the past 40 years. One of the first major events I remember reporting on were the Moss Side riots back in 1981, the first time police used riot shields, and quite hairy and scary at times, and prepared me for the more recent riots in Manchester and Salford.
Do you know
what? What was that? Yeah. Something just zinged past our ears. What was it, guys?
A can of Coke.
A can of Coke.
A can of Coke.
Flipping heck. I mean, that was close.
A can of Coke.
You wouldn't want to be on there right now,
yeah,
would you?
No, I wouldn't want to be on the Metrolink. What's going on? Why are you guys down here?
How long have we been talking about Broken Britain? I mean, you know, there's no opportunities for kids out there. That's why they're out here doing this.
Broken,
you know,
Britain,
kids, have you seen the unemployment rate? Guys ain't got jobs out here, so that's why they're out here doing this. It's not even a case of, it's gone way past my man getting shot by the police in London. It's gone way past that. Now it's about Broken Britain.
But these guys are smashing our city.
Yeah.
And that's what Britain does. They smash other countries. We learn, the youngers learn what the older people do in it. They smash countries. They can't expect kids not to act reckless. And that's all they do. That's all the country does, is act reckless. So don't try it. You get me?
Real highs and lows, the awful job of reading out the names of victims of the air disaster in 1980, just shortly after I joined, where a holiday jet from Manchester crashed in Tenerife. And then the Pope came to Heaton Park, and the full team was out, and I was allocated a space in Heaton Park where the Pope was going to come by, and had, you know, been there all day and had prepared what I was going to say when, you know, that moment he passed by and had got a crowd of people around me. And he didn't actually come past me. He shortened his journey in Heaton Park, and I spent all day there and didn't even see the Pope. And, of course, there'd been the terror attacks on Manchester. And I actually remember fighting back tears when I saw the devastation caused by the IRA bomb. And then, more recently, of course, those emotional scenes in St. Anne's Square after the arena attack. You know, you can't help but be moved by some of these terrible, momentous events. One of the most chilling memories was driving up onto the moors late one night when they found the body of Pauline Reed. I think that was back in about 1987, and that was 24 years after she was murdered by Ian Brady. And I remember, you know, driving up onto the moors, and it was pitch black, and I turned the corner and these arc lights were on, and a solitary policeman on the moor side, and I realised that, you know, this was a massive story unfolding. The most challenging was covering the Strange Ways prison riot in 1990. And after 25 days of non-stop coverage, I actually felt like going there and negotiating and talking the guys down from the roof, because it just drained our resource completely.
2 hours ago, rioting broke out at Strange Ways prison. Shortly, we'll be joining Chris Roberts in our radio car, who'll be looking back on events so far. Melanie Brown is at North Manchester General Hospital, and Andy Mitchell will look at what may have sparked off today's...
One of the embarrassing moments and the near disasters was I went to interview Margaret Thatcher at Downing Street with former United goalkeeper Gary Bailey, and we were late. The engineer decided that it would be a good opportunity to try a new piece of kit, a Marantz cassette recorder, because he said you can't be wafting a microphone under Mrs. Thatcher's nose. It needs to be set up nicely. So I went with two microphones, this new piece of kit. And Gary Bailey asked his first question. She answered the first question, and everything was coming out in the headphones. And I looked down, and the pause button was still in. And I flicked it off discreetly, just caught the second question. They went through the whole half-hour interview, and at the end, Mrs. Thatcher said, was everything OK? So I said, well, I'm just wondering whether Gary could ask the first question and get the first answer again. She said, I'll do the whole interview again if needs be. So I thought, well, no, actually, just the first question and answer will do. And Gary was glaring at me thinking, I know what's happened here. But, you know, that was great. That was that could have been an absolute disaster. You know, you can't go through 40 years without making the odd mistake. I only ever did one football match. And I gave up after I said that a player had pissed a fatness test live on air. And one of the most horrific situations was at my old school, Audenshaw Grammar, where I went back to cover a press conference. There'd been a major story there. It was being taken live by national broadcasters. And I managed to put the recording machine into play and record and have the volume switch up, and there was horrendous feedback, and the press conference, which was being taken live, had to be stopped, and the headmaster outed me live on national radio and television, saying that was the responsibility of a former old boy, John Pickford from Key 103. So you can't get through 40 years without the odd embarrassing moment. But it's been great times as well, you know.
And a lot of the stories you've talked about, you know, things that happened when you were the news editor. And I think it's important to say that you're a news editor and obviously now looking after stations all over the country that still wants to be out there on the streets with a microphone or with an iPhone. You know, a lot of your colleagues tell me any opportunity to get away from your desk and get out and report on a story, you want to do it. Why have you still got that passion? A lot of people after all this time would just be happy sat in the office.
I've never had an office, never had a PA. I always combined the news editor's job with being the chief reporter, because that's how you best got your contacts, how you actually saw other reporters, potential talent to join your team. And, you know, you join the environment as a reporter, and that doesn't go away from you. I was never a very good newsreader. I always employed better newsreaders than me, hence people like Paul Lockett, etc. You know, I've always been a reporter at heart. And yes, I keep saying to the team, right, I've retired from reporting now, but then I went out on the Bramall floods the other week and was out on New Year's Day on the alleged terror attack at Victoria Station. And if it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And it keeps your hand in. It means that you're never going to be asking people to do something that you're not prepared to do. I actually did a lot of multimedia stuff. And now I actually envy some of the skills that some of our news team have in terms of doing the pieces to camera, you know, high quality multimedia journalism, which is TV quality for radio. But, you know, it never leaves you. For 15 years, I actually produced the sports show with James H. Reeve and Tommy Docherty and Gary Owen and Paddy Creran. Those were great years, you know, real laugh and fantastic market-leading programme on a Saturday afternoon from 12 till 7. And those were magic times. Those were the highs, because obviously I've covered a lot of the lows with the disasters and murders and stuff like that. But sport has a real high in Manchester with the triumphs of United and City and Oldham Athletic as well down the line when they were in their heyday.
It's interesting you mentioned being out as a reporter, but also being the boss and being able to then, you know, keep an eye on the talent from other radio stations. I remember having a conversation with you probably 12, 13 years ago at an IRN meeting at Castle Quay, actually. And we were talking about a reporter who worked on another commercial radio station. I remember you saying, oh, yeah, she's good, her. You know, I'm keeping my eye on her. And you, throughout your time, you've kind of, you know, been aware of other people. And I suppose that's traditionally in radio been more like a presenter talent thing, where programmers are saying, oh, we like that presenter, we're keeping an eye on their career, we might hire them. And it's quite rare for somebody to do that with news talent, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think you've got to do that. You've got to be like you know, football manager, in that you have to know the potential next players into your team. And so you're not starting from scratch when you've got a vacancy. You're not starting from a blank piece of paper. You've got in your mind some potential people who you are interested in. I remember taking somebody from Radio City many, many years ago, and they said to me, do you want a CV and a demo tape? I said, well, no, I've been listening to you for the past 6 months. So it took them by surprise. So I said, well, yeah, what do you expect? And a lot of the people that I've recruited, you know, I've been listening around. One person came on work experience, went somewhere else, was constantly sending me their latest sort of work. And one day, at 5 to 1, it was pouring down with rain. My phone went, answered it, and they said, hi, it's so-and-so here. Can you get in your car now? Because I'm going to be reading the news on this radio station that you will get in your car. Got to go. Going to read the news. So got my coat on. The team said, where are you going? I said, I'm just going to sit in my car and listen to the radio a minute. So I went, got wet through, listened to this bulletin, and they were brilliant. And when I got back to my desk, the phone was ringing again. Well, did you? I said, well, I can't believe your cheek, but I said, yes, I did. Well, what do you think? I said, well, you were brilliant. She said, right, give me your next job. So how can you not give that person the next job? Because they'd done a live demo. They could have really messed it up. So talent, you know, is, you know, I've made the odd mistake. James Rea will always remind me, you didn't take me on, John. So I always say, well, it probably wasn't the right time to take you on, James. So you do make the odd mistake. And but then, you know, people like Dan Walker, you know, and others have proved that, you know, if you open the door to somebody, but they are willing to really work hard. And there are some people who I think are, you know, you class them as slow burners. I was a slow burner. You know, I wasn't particularly good to start off with, but somebody saw something in me. And I think if you open the door and are patient with people, as long as they are willing to put the time and the effort and the energy in, then I'm willing to put the time, effort and energy in as well. And Michelle Livesey and I do the odd night schools where we get grassroots journalists or people with very little experience and do some training out of hours free of charge to see if we can actually bring them on and fast track them into our next jobs.
And I suppose in these days that we're in with fast news, you know, social media, rolling news channels, everything happening all at once, how important is it still that radio is you know, finding original news stories? I know at Bauer and at Key and Hits, you've had some big successes with original journalism stories where the law has been changed as a result of your journalist campaigning. So that's still a massive thing that's important, as well as the, you know, the here and now and the top of the hour stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it also motivates your team if you're doing more than the hourly bulletins, and they can get their teeth into finding original stories. Or, you know, not every time we do something are we going to change the law. You know, for a radio station, a commercial radio station like Key 103 to actually, or Hits Radio as it's called now, to change the law is significant. And, you know, Michelle Livesey and I worked on Clare's Law, which the police say has actually led to the lives of men and women being saved. And that was probably one of the proudest things that I have done in the past 40 years. But you're not always going to change the law, but we can highlight local issues. And, you know, the fact that commercial radio and Bauer News is still winning awards for its original journalism and its campaigning journalism, you know, is testament to Bauer allowing us to do that, but also the skills of the team that I have around me. And that's been the key to my success, is actually building people around you in the team who are better than you, who have greater skills, who are better newsreaders, who are better reporters. And then you know, have the success of the team that you've built around you.
And I suppose 40 years ago, it was probably quite common that people would stay working at the same firm, you know, all their lives. In radio these days, certainly people tend to move about a bit more. You probably couldn't have foreseen 40 years ago that, albeit with a building move and a couple of name changes, you'd still be at Piccadilly Radio.
Well, I think I could, because I always wanted to work here. And if you've achieved your dream job, when I've been offered other opportunities, I've always thought to myself, well, what am I going to leave behind? You know, if I'm the head of news of Key 103, or now I'm the editor-in-chief of Bauer Radio News, then, you know, it's somebody else will be doing that job if I leave it. So I don't want to leave that job. And, you know, why would I leave a job where the organisation is so brilliant? The people that I work with, you know, people like Michelle Livesey and my three heads of news now are just brilliant journalists. And also the organisation I work for, Bauer, you know, people like Dee Ford and Paul Keenan, Graham Bryce and Gary Steen, just let me, you know, they respect my expertise and they support local news. And why would you want to move somewhere else?
I think every day needs to be John Pickford Day, doesn't it? Have a party every day.
Well, as long as they don't wear masks of me, you know, it's just too frightening. It's like looking at myself in a mirror, but, in, you know, on a really bad day.
It's great to catch up with you, John. Thank you for talking to us. And, well, here's to the next 40 years of your fob letting you into the car park, I guess.
Well, I hope so, yeah. Nice speaking to you, Stuart.
Brilliant. Hope you enjoyed listening to John as much as I enjoyed chatting to him. Still to come on the Radio Today programme, David Lloyd is here with more radio moments from the archive. First, a reminder about Clean Feed. If you're doing the Christmas lights switch on this week and you're panicking because you haven't got a way of getting that OB back to the studio, this could be the thing to help you out. It's great for OBs. It's great for interviews with guests for your show or podcast, maybe co-hosting from somewhere different to normal. Clean Feed's been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to use and great to connect in live quality audio just using a browser on your PC or laptop. The quality is really good, and you can even record within the browser as well if you are making a podcast with guests in different places. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take you 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
Because we grew up with radio, it's part of who we are.
Hello. It's 8 years this week since this sudden Capital London farewell.
You're also going to get Rihanna's entire back catalogue, and you could be joining Capital next time we interview her.
I'd love to check out her whole back catalogue.
She's got a big back catalogue.
You get me?
Hits, baby.
Okay, I've selected the first 30 minutes of music for Roberto's show. They've let me do that. It's cool. You're going to love it. It is Friday, gang!
Friday!
Have a cracker. Have a humdinger of a swinger. Dan's up next with the news.
Johnny and Lisa.
Capital Breakfast.
Johnny Vaughan's last words on the Capital London Breakfast Show after a seven-year spell that was this week in 2011. Mark Goodyear hosted the BBC's chart show twice. His final stint ended this week 17 years ago.
The final top 40 presented by me, Mark Goodyear, on Radio 1. By no means the final chart, as you will hear. With another new entry next, Sugar Babes, notching up another success. In at 7, it's Stronger. Last week's number 2, DJ Sammy and Heaven. Up one place, Kelly and Nelly and Dilemma.
50 years of the official chart, Radio 1.
Stand by for Dave Pearce next on Radio 1 with Dance Anthems after we hear one more song from Robbie Williams, but now the brand new number 1. And after a week in control with Unbreakable...
The Ireland's impeccable Mark Goodyear ending his chart show tenure this week in 2002. 1967 was eventful for the BBC. Radios 1 to 4 began their new lives and local radio began. This week, the third and final local station to make its debut that year, it was in Liverpool, where press relations were good and the audience reach quickly climbed to 30%. Costs quickly climbed too to over £60,000.
Radio Merseyside will broadcast on VHF at a frequency of 95.85, bringing high-quality radio coverage of every activity that has made Merseyside what it is today. We went along to ask one of the most famous Merseysiders what he thought of the new radio service.
By Jove, just what we wanted. Radio Naughty Ash. It's tatty-falarious.
I think the long-term value of broadcasting is that it helps to integrate a community. It helps to make a town community more of one community. And I think in these days, when there's a danger of communities disintegrating, that this is tremendously important.
My name is Michael Hancock, station manager of Radio Merseyside, and we're broadcasting from the heart of Merseyside, from Commerce House, Liverpool. Out now by radio link to our reporting team, in the air, on the river, and underground.
Or not, as the case may be. That was a bit ambitious, wasn't it? Radio Merseyside, born this week in 1967. Monica Sims was the first woman to run Radio 4. She died this week last year. She joined the BBC as a talks producer, then moving to edit Woman's Hour, which she headed until 1967.
Woman's Hour, I think, was unique at that time in encouraging the ordinary listener to speak for himself or herself. And we did a lot about how people managed on their money, their housekeeping budgets and so on, which meant that we involved people from up and down the country. And it stopped the programme from becoming too London southeast based. We were always very keen to try and involve the whole country as far as possible. And we were also at that time doing a lot of international items, as well as having our domestic speakers. And I think at the time it was the only general magazine programme on radio that had this kind of variety within it, and reviews of the papers as well, which nobody else was doing at the time.
Monica Sims. Absolute Radio was, without doubt, at the forefront of targeted era stations. This week, 8 years ago, Controversy, as their sixth, arrived.
I'm very excited about Absolute Radio 60s because it's undoubtedly the coolest decade of music. I mean, there isn't really a form of modern music that isn't influenced in some way by those great artists of the 60s. You can draw a line, and usually a straight line, from any of today's bands back to those big influential acts in the 60s.
Absolute Radio 60s.
A radio station dedicated to playing 60s music is to ban Sir Cliff from their playlist.
Joined by Pete Mitchell of Absolute Radio 60s, launches next week. It's the station that's banned Sir Cliff.
The kids didn't like Cliff, the parents liked Cliff. There's no sex and drugs and rock and roll with Cliff. This is the problem.
In a funny, strange way, they're using me to advertise their station, and I hope they're going to be really successful. Because then I could better say, well, you know, would they have done it without me? And the answer is probably no.
Absolute Radio 60s, launching this week in 2011. So, with the final Kenny Everett Radio 2 show 36 years ago...
5 minutes to 12 o'clock, and here in London time, it's pretty grotty outside. There's a bit of bright over there. See, just over there behind that tree. But the rest of it's fairly grey. And the weather forecast for the rest of the country is right here in the studio somewhere.
Radio 4 adopting the UK theme 41 years ago. The death of Radio 4's John Timpson 14 years ago. He'd hosted Today for 16 years.
Good morning from John Timpson in Brighton, where at 10 to 3 this morning, an explosion extensively damaged the Grand Hotel. In which
Nick Robinson making his Radio 4 Today debut 4 years ago.
This morning's other headline, the UK security services are to recruit almost 2,000...
And James Naughtie turning Radio 4 into the defecation station that same week.
Shit.
Radio 1, launching on digital satellite TV 20 years ago.
The UK's new music first.
97 to 99 FM.
Is your duty to memorise that number?
97 to 99 FM!
Aggressive, outgoing, excellent.
And the first management buyout in radio 24 years ago, the radio partnership set up by Neil Robinson and John Josephs from Metro bought The Pulse and its Great Yorkshire Gold from EMAP for £4.6 million. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and Roy, and my main guest John Pickford from Bauer. Next time on the Radio Today programme, we're at Absolute Radio Live in London, where we'll hopefully hear more about Absolute Radio 10s, and also a big birthday coming up for Absolute 80s as well. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.